Father, we thank you and we love you, Lord. This morning we give you praise. We give you glory. The Lord is good and his mercy endureth forever. Thank you for the word of the Lord that is so precious in our hearts. And the Bible says, and we declare that the entrance of the word of God brings light and gives understanding. To God be the glory. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now, Lord, we pray that the word of the Lord will go forth with power and with understanding to our hearts. We'll deliver understanding to our hearts. Blessed be the name of the Lord Jesus. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. Well, welcome, everybody. Praise the Lord. Why is this topic, of the gospel of the kingdom so important that we keep going back to it, or the message of the kingdom, or understanding the concepts of the kingdom? Why is it so important? Well, today, going back to the kingdom series, understanding the gospel of the kingdom, and what it is all about. And so that's what we're going to be talking on and sharing. And you understand the reason why this is so important in just a bit, because this was the central message, that Jesus preached was his central message, It wasn't just some casual thing that he preached. It was focused on the message of the kingdom. I want everybody to engage as we do this together today. Praise the Lord. So, I want to get into this message today. Understanding the gospel of the kingdom. Understanding the gospel of the kingdom. This was the central message that Jesus preached. It was about the gospel of the kingdom. And let's find out what Jesus talked about. Let's find out also why. Praise the Lord. We're going to start from the beginning. Once we introduce what Jesus said, and we're going to go back to the beginning and figure out what it's all about. I think of this as a deep dive to figuring out the gospel of the kingdom, what it's all about. We'll start first with Jesus. Then we'll take it and walk our way backwards and forwards, try to figure this thing out together. In the book of Matthew, we've read about how Jesus started his ministry. And the last series that we did, we were focusing on revival, evangelism, soul winning, and all of that. Well, soul winning for what purpose? This is the real deal here. The reason why we evangelize, why we win souls, is for the kingdom of God. And we need to understand what it's all about, to have a proper understanding of the real message of the kingdom. Now, Jesus, when he began to preach, we covered this verse before, but we want to remind us of it in Matthew 4 and verse 17. From that time, Jesus began to preach and to say. Now notice, Jesus began to preach and to say. What was it that he started to preach and started to say? He started to preach saying, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And Jesus was introducing, was announcing, the advent of the kingdom. Now, this message that Jesus was preaching when he started out was not about the church. and talk about the church. That may sound strange to some of you, but Jesus didn't talk about the church in the beginning of his message. He was talking about the kingdom. And it is important for us to understand that. You know, so the message of the church or church membership, or growing our churches, was not the message that Jesus preached when he started out. Didn't preach religion either. Didn't preach church membership. Didn't preach religion. Preached kingdom arrival. That's what you might call it. Now, later on, he did talk about church, but not at the first. The first thing was the kingdom. Yeah. So, also in that same chapter of Matthew 4, you know, by the time you get down to verse 23, he said, "And Jesus, he went about all Galilee, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and all manner of disease among the people." Well, the healing went along with the preaching of the kingdom message. Now, Jesus wasn't inviting anyone to his church here. He was actually inviting people to the kingdom. So we're going to see about that, you know. Now, let's talk about kingdom in general. The kingdom, what does that really mean? We're going to talk about the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. People say, we're just saying kingdom. No, it's a purpose behind it. In fact, you know, we must recognize that God is the king. You know, it's about God's rule as king. It's about God's reign. It's about God's order, you know, in breaking down, you know, this chaos that's created by, you know, human disorder and disobedience. God's kingdom is about putting those things in order. The repent that Jesus was talking about in Matthew 4 and 17 was not just about being sorrowful. It was a realignment, or rather alignment with a new government. So we're going to be talking about that. You know, the kingdom of God is a government. And it's also a system of a government where there is a king. You know, that's why they call it a kingdom. There is no kingdom without a king, and there is no king without a kingdom. So if there is a kingdom of heaven, then there is a king to that kingdom. As a matter of fact, you can take the word kingdom and think of it as a composite word from two words. King's domain, you know, the place, the territory where the king asserts his influence and his authority. That's kingdom. That's his kingdom. You know, so we want to talk about, you know, that in the concept, the concepts of the kingdom, I'm understanding it from that perspective. Now, from the beginning, we got to always go back to the beginning when we talk about these things. From the beginning, you see what God said and what God introduced, you know. He said to Adam, you know, he said, subdue the earth. Subdue means bring it into alignment, you know. Cause the earth to be subservient. Cause the earth to obey, to fall in line. That's subdue. It wasn't just something that we let the earth do whatever it wants. No. The earth was to be heaven's colony. You know, and they said, go out there make the earth to come into alignment. Put the earth in compliance. That's what subdue means. You know, so subdue the earth, bring it into alignment, put it in order, you know. Now, let's talk about a kingdom that's out there colonizing another territory. Now, a kingdom has a territory of its own, but you know, usually when they want to expand, they go out there, colonize other territories to expand their reach. You know, I grew up in a nation that was colonized, you know, years ago by the United Kingdom. And the very name of that United Kingdom reminds us of something. It was called United Kingdom. You know, so they actually had a king or queen or monarchy or something going all the time. Now, a kingdom is a monarchy. It's not a democracy. Those of us who grew up in the United States, or those of you who grew up in the United States, probably don't understand the concept of kingdom. Because the way we know it in the United States, everything is a democracy, or at least supposed to be a democracy. You know, but in the kingdom of God, it's not a democracy. You know, there is no rule by, you know, it's not a democratic rule. You know, the government of the people, for the people, by the people. No, that's not God's kingdom. There is one who is in charge, and he is the king. That's right. He has his own cabinet too. And the cabinet, they are to do his will. And this king is not voted in. Don't vote a king into a kingdom. You know, it's not voted in. Succession in kingdoms by appointment. Appointment. It's not by, you know, somebody votes somebody in like they do in a democracy. Vote in a president or whatever. This thing in the kingdom of God is by appointment. Let me jump to a verse here that will help you to understand that. Luke chapter 22 and verse 29. Jesus said, I appoint unto you a kingdom. Well, I appoint you in the kingdom to certain rulership. You know, as my Father has appointed me. It was appointed. You know, it wasn't voted in by anybody. So that's kingdom. That's how kingdom comes about. Now, back to the kingdom and the territory. You know, when a new colony is acquired, you know, the ruling government puts in structures and things in place and tries to bring in their own culture. Even culture is a part of, you know, the relationship that happens, exchange, introduction of the culture of the ruling kingdom is something that happens in the relationship between the kingdom and the colony. It's important. You know, when the kingdom is present, or when the kingdom comes in, you know, what it does is it actually is not passive. You know, they come in there, invade, displace, and overthrow. You know, and just take over the place. That's right. You know, it's actually sometimes you could think of it as forceful. You know, forceful. Jesus expressed this in many ways. You know, said, look, I cast out devils by the Spirit of God, Matthew 12 and 28. And if I do that, and the kingdom of God He's come to you. God, they were, you know, they were challenging him about doing things in the kingdom, you know, by power. They said, no, you know, I do these things by the gospel and by the power and the finger of God. And if I do that, then the kingdom is unto you. The law and the prophets, Luke chapter 16 and verse 16, were unto John. And from that time, the kingdom of God is preached. From the time of John. And every man is pressing into it. Now, this John the Baptist, not John the Apostle. John the Baptist was someone that you might say had one leg in the law and the prophets and another leg in the kingdom, because he was the one that was introducing this newcomer on the stage that was going to change things. John said, look, I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, you know. But the people didn't really understand what real repentance was. I said, but this one that's coming is going to bring you into alignment, you know, into the kingdom. His rule is going to be different, you know, and he's going to show you things about the kingdom. This is the messenger, the covenant messenger that's coming. I'm only the forerunner. Now, you know, Jesus said that in Matthew chapter 11 and 12, the kingdom of God. People have always wanted to understand this. You know, from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of God, you know, heaven, suffering violence. I mean, it's like there is a force behind it. People taking the force, the kingdom by force. The kingdom itself taking its territories by force. You know, now when we see miracles happening, you know, it's a sign that the kingdom is advancing. That's what Jesus told the disciples to do. Now, what I'm doing here is a summary. It's kind of like a synopsis of where we're going with all of this. And Jesus sent out his disciples in Matthew chapter 10. So it's a practice run for them. I told them, you know, well, I want you to go. Don't go into the way of the Gentiles. Their time is not yet. But go first. Don't go into any city of the Samaritans. Don't do that yet. But go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And as you go, Matthew 10 and 7, you know, say the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Show them something about the kingdom. You know, as you announce the arrival of the kingdom, show them what the kingdom has to offer. You got to offer something. You know, so what this kingdom will offer is this: heal the sick. Remember, Jesus went about preaching the kingdom, healing all manner of sickness and disease. Well, to his disciples also, when you talk about the kingdom is arriving, show them what that means. Heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. It's not religion. Religion can't do that. You know, it's what you do. Show them what this kingdom has to offer. And he said, look, this kingdom also, when you preach it to people, you cannot charge them anything. It's free. It's already paid for. Let them come in freely. You receive it freely. You give it. Give this entrance to the kingdom freely. Now, the preaching of the gospel of the kingdom therefore becomes the good news. Gospel means good news. The good news that talks about the arrival of the kingdom. Well, that's what they were doing 2,000 years ago. Are we still talking about the arrival of the kingdom? You know, the kingdom is coming. No, Kingdom of God is here already. Jesus said, if I cast out devils by the finger of God, then the Kingdom of God is among you already. So the Kingdom of God is here and does not quite yet appear. What it will all be like, that's because the agency, the main agency of that kingdom is, you know, two parts, Holy Spirit and that church, heaven and earth working together. Holy Spirit represents heaven. Church represents the earth working together to bring in righteousness, to bring in the culture. Righteousness is the culture of heaven. The scepter of thy throne is a scepter of righteousness. The symbol of your kingdom is righteousness. Now, righteousness is the culture of heaven. Holiness, the culture of heaven. So in Isaiah 45 verse 8, when he talks about drop down ye heavens, let the skies pour down. Well, you know, that's like influence of heaven, right? Heaven's influence coming down into the earth, walking together. Let's read that verse again because it's so powerful. Remember, agency from heaven is the Holy Spirit. The agency in the earth is the church. The two together, when they get together like that, powerful, unstoppable force. You know, Holy Spirit needs the church upon the earth to do this work. Church needs the Holy Spirit from heaven to do it, you know. But the work is to be done on earth, not in heaven. It's on earth. Thy kingdom come. Jesus taught disciples to pray. Pray. Thy kingdom come. Thy will, you know, the influence of heaven. Thy will, you know, assert your will upon the earth. That's what a kingdom does in its colony. Bring the influence of the king, the culture that the king wants. It's not anybody's opinion. It's what the king wants. You know, install it in the new place, in the new kingdom. I mean, the new colony of the kingdom. So let's read this in Isaiah 45 and verse 8. This is how heaven and earth work together to bring the kingdom into view. Drop down, ye heavens, from above, and let the skies pour down righteousness. That's the influence of heaven. Let the earth open up, and let them, who's them? The earth cannot be called them. You know, it's the heaven and the earth together, them both together, bring forth salvation and let righteousness, this is the culture of heaven, spring up together upon the earth. That's it. The target of and the mission of the kingdom and bringing in a new colony is to bring the influence of that kingdom into that colony. Culture of that kingdom into that colony. Now, the culture of heaven, note, is righteousness. You know, and that's what we must bring in. Bring in everlasting righteousness. The church is the agency to do it, influenced by the Holy Spirit. Now, Holy Spirit is teaching the church the culture of heaven, right? That's the fruit of the Spirit and these things of the Spirit. And Holy Spirit is teaching the church. The church was given the Holy Spirit. Jesus says, the Holy Spirit who I will send from the Father, or the Father I will send in my name, whom the world cannot receive. That's right. Holy Spirit is not given to the world. Holy Spirit will bring his influence, though, to the world through the church. Holy Spirit given to the church You bring a culture of heaven upon the church first, and the church have the influence to bring it upon the earth. And that's how it works. Holy Spirit and the church working together powerfully bring in the kingdom of God upon the earth. You talk about kingdom upon the earth? Well, yeah. That's where it is. Jesus taught the disciples in his prayer, pattern, and he said, teach us how to pray. And he said, pray that the kingdom of God should come. Let me tell you something that's important about this kingdom culture business. Think about Jesus. From the time of the fall and all the things we went through and all the kingdoms of this world. We're going to get to Daniel in a bit. The kingdoms of this world and all the things that they were doing. Let me talk about that now. When Nebuchadnezzar had the dream that Daniel dreamed again and then explained it to him in Daniel chapter 2, Daniel said, look, the dream is sure, the interpretation is certain, and this is it. Thou at the head of that head of gold is you. And after you, there will be another inferior kingdom and all of these things. I was describing all these kingdoms of the world. Now, but notice that Christ did not come during the Babylonian Empire, Grecian Empire, Assyrian Empire, Medo-Persian Empire, all this stuff. Yeah, he didn't come. He could have. Why did he wait so long? none of those kingdoms had a model that even looked like the kingdom of heaven. What did they do? Well, what Nebuchadnezzar did. Even God said, I gave him the power to do it. And he's going to carry you away into captivity. And you better put your neck, Jeremiah used to tell them, put your neck under his yoke, otherwise you won't make it. What did they do? They came in there, those kingdoms, and their own method of colonization was destroy the place and carry people away captive to their own land. That was their own method. That's how Daniel and his friends ended up in Babylon. That's how Esther and all these people, all of them, they ended up in different kingdoms, Nehemiah, Ezra, and so forth. They were children of the captivity for years. Another kingdom came, took them over, but they were still in captivity. I said, wow, can we sing the song of the Lord in the land of captivity? Well, can't sing it. They were all children of the captivity for years because the ruling kingdom that came in, they did things, in a way of take over the place, destroy everything, carry them away captive, carry all the vessels of the sanctuary, carry everything away. The people even carry them away captive. That's how they did this stuff. Well, let's read something about, what Daniel said about that. He said, the great image whose brightness was excellent that you saw. He said, you saw until there was a stone that was cut out with our hands. And this is Daniel chapter 2. I'm reading from about verse 34 or so. Cut out with our hands, which smote the image upon his feet, and so on. And then he said, this is the dream. We will tell the interpretation to the king. Thou art the king of kings. You are the head of gold. And God has given you, kingdom of heaven. Notice, the God of heaven has given you a kingdom and power and strength and glory. And wheresoever the children of men are that dwell, God has given it to you. You are this head of gold. After you shall arise another kingdom that's inferior to thee, and so on, and then a third kingdom, and so on and so forth. And I began to tell them, and he said, one day, even though there's this kingdom, some of them inferior, some of them strong, the Iron Kingdom, breaking pieces, everything, and so on, you know. But finally, one day he said, you will see in the days of these kings. Now, kings mean kingdoms. Kingdoms also mean their king. In the days of these kings and kingdoms shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall not never be destroyed. Why? Because these other ruling kingdoms always come in there, destroy whatever they find, carry them away captive, and do all of these things. You know. And God said, no. In the days of these kings, when God sets up that kingdom, it cannot be destroyed, not by Nebuchadnezzar, not by Darius, not by anybody, you know, not by Cyrus, not by anybody. They cannot be destroyed, not even by the Caesars. It can't be destroyed, you know. This kingdom shall not be destroyed. Glory to God, you know. But the kingdom shall never be destroyed, neither shall it be left to other people and just come in there, do whatever they want. No. But this kingdom shall break in pieces and consume all these other kingdoms. You know, and that kingdom of heaven shall stand forever. Ladies and gentlemen, let me show you from this Daniel chapter 2, the end of all these kingdoms of this world. It's doom for the kingdoms of this world. Now, if you are thinking, I'm going to join myself to the kingdom of this world in order to do something, guess what? At best, the kingdoms of this world, they are headed for destruction. They must be destroyed because that stone will smash and destroy everything. Doesn't matter how long it takes, it is going to happen. And it's going to happen at the end. It was the feet that he struck, not the head. Strike at the feet. He will destroy and crush everything. And then establish the kingdom of heaven physically. Spiritually, it's happening already, but physically, that will happen as well. Now, why was it that Jesus came during the Roman kingdom? Think about it. It was the Roman kingdom that was in place. Now, what was their own model? You know, we never heard that Roman kingdom came in, carried everybody captive away to Rome. They never did any such thing. You know, the Babylonians and all these people did that. But the Roman Empire, they didn't do that. They were strong. They were sometimes wicked, but strong. But what they did was when they came in there, you know, they installed their own government. They didn't carry the people away captive. Install their own government. Bring their own governors, their own administrators, and so forth. And everybody reported to Rome. That's right. And there was only one king, that's Caesar. He's in Rome, but his influence is happening here. You know, in the kingdom that they, or the area, the territory they colonized. And everybody wanted to be a Roman citizen. You know, because otherwise they oppressed you. But if you are a Roman citizen, then you were free, you know, and you could do certain things. You had certain rights, which the others didn't have. So people wanted to buy this, you know, citizenship at all costs. You know, you'll see that in one of the stories. I'll tell that later. Paul, talking to somebody about it, said, I was freeborn. The man said, I obtained it with a great price. Well, Paul said, well, I was freeborn. Because Paul's parents were naturalized citizens, so he became a citizen. This other guy had to pay for it a lot. Kind of like a lot of people pay a lot of money, go through a lot of things to be citizens of some countries that they think and offer them something that they lack. You know. So, Jesus came during that time. Think about it. The kingdom of heaven. He looked around, he couldn't see. There was none of these kingdoms that even closely resembled the model of the kingdom of heaven. They didn't. None of them did. Because their own business was destroy the place, carry people away. Now, that was not the method, or you call it SOP, standard operating procedure for heaven. No. Heaven was not about destroying the place, carrying people away. No. Heaven was about installing something into the colony. Now, the kingdom of Rome kind of looked like that a bit. Because that's what they did. So Jesus chose to come in that time. Because that kingdom looked like that. That's what Rome did. Rome brought their own governors, brought their own administrators, and they brought their influence into the place. You know, they brought their own money. They brought everything. One time they said, show me the money. Jesus said, show me the money. The money that they were spending in Samaria and all these places, Judea and all the Galilee and Capernaum and all these places, was Roman money. Yeah, put the inscription of Caesar on it. You know, God said, yeah, you know, that kingdom kind of looks like the model. So the model of heaven is not to carry anybody away from here. That's not the model. The model is bring the influence of heaven upon the earth. That's why when Jesus was praying in John chapter 17, this prayer is so powerful and is so critical to the understanding of the message of the kingdom. If you don't understand it, you'll say, why did Jesus pray like that? You know, why did Jesus pray? You know, the prayer that he prayed, and he was talking to the Father. He was about to leave. You would think that, you know, the prayer that Jesus would pray, you know, would be something different than what he prayed. I prayed a lot of things, but, you know, in verse 15, he said, I pray not. Not that I pray that you should carry them from earth to heaven. He said, no. He prayed, in fact, the exact opposite. Why did Jesus pray the exact opposite? He said, I pray not that you should take them out of the world. Now, that's not the model I want. You know, carry them to Babylon, carry them to heaven. No, don't take them out. Leave them here because they have a purpose. So that begins to tell you why you prayed like that. Yeah, if it was the other way around, then believers should go to heaven as soon as they give their life to Christ. As soon as they come into the kingdom, boom. Next moment, you should be in heaven. If you were under the pattern of these other kingdoms, that's what they did. They carried the people away. Once they took over the place, carried them away captive, back to their own place. Jesus said, no. We're not doing that. You know, leave them here. But we are bringing heaven to the earth. Now, people don't know this, and I say it, you know, all the time when we talk about teach this series, that the target of heaven is the earth. It's not the other way around. It is not the earth. It's not people from the earth going to heaven. And maybe temporarily, as an evacuation plan, God has an evacuation plan. I temporarily take the people out while he's purging the earth. But when that's all done, it's all coming back down from heaven to the earth. And I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven into the earth. That's the target. Now, why is, you know, that important? It is important for us to not see that, oh, you know, we're just here, we are saved, waiting to go to heaven. You know, the people who think like that, they don't understand the message of the kingdom. And so we need to understand the message of the kingdom. It's kind of like Adam back in the day. You know, Enoch would challenge him, but you say we're going to die. But we're not dead yet. And say, well, but we are waiting to die because God said we would die. So we're all just going, Enoch could say something like, so we're all just going to wait around and die? Well, yeah, that's what God said. But we are not dead yet. Yeah, but we are going to die. Because God said we are going to die. So we're just going to wait around and die. Enoch said, no, we'll see about that. That's right. We'll see about that. See, it's not, the church is not just waiting around or should not just be waiting around to go to heaven. See, this is the thing. Just waiting around to go to heaven. Give your life to Christ and go to heaven. That's a message we preach. The church itself waiting around to go to heaven. No! Jesus said, occupy! You know, and we have been talking about the series of occupying, you know, how to bring souls in and so forth. But there is more than salvation, you know, in the kingdom message. Kingdom message, understanding the gospel of the kingdom goes beyond people being saved. The people being saved, that's the opening. Jesus said in John chapter 3 when he was talking to Nicodemus, he said, look, except a man be born again. Well, that's the message of the church, and it's accurate. You know, you cannot see the kingdom. That's accurate. The church preaches that perfectly, but we don't go far enough. You know, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. John chapter 3 and verse 3. So the gospel of being born again, the gospel of salvation is only the door. Think of it that way. I am the door. You know, Jesus said, by me, if any man enters in. Well, when you enter in a door, what happens then? You've got to go on a discovery after entering the door. Let's think about a place that's called the kingdom here on earth, here in the United States. There's a place, you know, called Magic Kingdom. They actually use the word kingdom for it. It's called Magic Kingdom. Yeah, I live in Orlando, Florida. Yeah, Disney World in Orlando, Florida. Disneyland in Los Angeles, California. If you go to Disney World, they call it Magic Kingdom. It's also called Magic Kingdom in the other place too. But Magic Kingdom. So, but what happens when you go to the Magic Kingdom? What happens when you enter through the turnstiles and pay your fee to enter? And does anybody who enter in there just enter in and stay there and say, yeah, I'm now in the kingdom? Of course not. When you pay the fee and enter through the gates or the turnstiles and you are in the kingdom, you're like, wow, now I've got to discover. So you just entered in doesn't mean that you know anything that's going on in the kingdom. You just entered in, you know. So the message of the new birth, Jesus was explaining it to Nicodemus. He said it's the portal to the kingdom. That's the door. You can't even see it if you are not born again. So when you are born again, you enter. So that means the new birth is the door to the kingdom. You can't get in any other way. So in that sense, the message of the kingdom of the church is accurate. But it doesn't go far enough. You know, it doesn't go far enough. You're accurate in saying that you must be born again to get in the kingdom of God. That's correct. But it doesn't go far enough. When you get into the kingdom, then what? You know, then what? So we just sit around and wait to go to heaven. Well, that's void of understanding. Because Jesus didn't pray like that. He prayed the opposite. So if Jesus prayed the opposite, then we got to figure out what it was that Jesus was talking about. Why was it that Jesus was always talking about go and preach the gospel of the kingdom? And why did Jesus say in Matthew 24 and verse 14 that this gospel of the kingdom, didn't just say this gospel, no, this gospel of the kingdom. In all of Jesus's mind, it was all about the kingdom. This gospel of the kingdom must be preached. all the world for a witness to all nations. It's beyond the gospel. The gospel of new birth experience is part of it. It's the beginning, but it's not all of it. You say, well, what are you talking about? This is heresy. No, it is not. This is understanding the truth. The gospel of the new birth is the beginning. It's the entrance. That's what Jesus said. You cannot see the kingdom. You cannot enter. Listen to this. Said it again. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born of water and spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. So, born again means you are entering in. Is the door experience. I am the way, the truth, and the life. I am the door. By me, if any man enters in, he shall be saved. That new birth is the door. But behind the door, there's discovery to be made. There's discovery. What is this kingdom all about? Now that I'm part of it, it's discovery. Now, there's a lot of people that don't know. Maybe citizens, but they don't know their rights. And if they don't know their rights, then they are shortchanged, you know, because they're not going to tell you what all your rights are. You're going to have to figure them out. You know, you figure it out. There's a lot of people in this United States of America that don't know all their rights as citizens. They know some, but they don't know all their rights. There are certain rights, you know, as citizens that you have. So rights as citizens of the kingdom of heaven have also. And there's something that we should be doing to make others want to have what we have. Some of us have learned some of it, inviting people to come to Christ. And that's it. You know, that's only the beginning. But what am I supposed to offer them when they come to Christ? What Jesus said, heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. Their religion can't do that. You know, their government can't do that. There is no government upon the earth that can heal the sick, that can cleanse lepers, that can raise the dead. There's no government. They're trying to make science do it. And they still have not been able to figure it out. But the kingdom of heaven does it naturally. Naturally. Heal the sick. Cleanse the lepers. If Jesus was talking about it today, he would be saying, heal cancers, leukemias, all these things, you know, diabetes, all the, see, that was what they, was common in their days, leprosy and all these things. So he was talking about it. Today, we're talking about cleanse the blood, you know, cleanse the blood. Joel chapter 3, you know, the last verse says, I will cleanse your blood that has not been cleansed. Cleanse the blood. Kill all kinds of leukemias, heal them all, you know, heal the cancers, raise the dead, well, cast out devils. That's common in every generation. I had more devils today than ever were. They camouflage, but they are there. Cast them out. I argue with them. Get them out of there. Kingdom, no kingdom can do that. Only the kingdom of God. And we got something to offer that nobody else can offer. Eternal life that Jesus offers, no other religion or gospel or anything can go match it, you know. But the gospel of the kingdom gives that. But part of that is also abundant life. Jesus said not only eternal life, but also abundant life. Right here, John chapter 10, verse 10. Right here, right now. What does that mean? Well, we're going to discover that together. Now, let me talk about a few other things. You know, the kingdom must produce. The message of the kingdom is to introduce that there is a new lifestyle and a new culture. You know, for the kingdom of God is not meat and drink. Romans chapter 4, verse 17. It's not just for you to just live like the rest of the people. No. What do the rest of people do? What shall we eat? What shall we drink? Wherewith shall we be clothed? You know, and so forth. That's what the rest of the people are doing. and say, the kingdom of God is not that. The kingdom of God is righteousness. It is a culture. It's a culture, you know, and it brings peace and it brings joy in the Holy Ghost. You can read that in Romans 14 and 17. You know, it's a culture. It's a lifestyle and a culture. And that's what the kingdom of God brings. You know, many of us are there, but we don't understand it. And it eludes us because we don't understand it. The kingdom has a culture. In fact, it is a culture. The culture is defined by righteousness, peace, and joy. In heaven, it's called the righteousness and all of that is called holiness unto the Lord. Here, it's called righteousness. Doing what's right in the sight of heaven. The culture that we must all align to. The kingdom produces a new way of thinking. Repent means a new way of thinking, a new way of speaking, a new way of living. It's a turn around. And then the life of the kingdom citizens, they reflect the king. You know, one time I said, look, you know, and I'll say it again too. How you measure the kingdom, you know, the effectiveness of that kingdom or the measure of the kingdom is in the welfare of its citizens. Now, if the citizens of that kingdom are poor, wretched, miserable, naked, and blind, then that's what that kingdom is. You know, no matter what anybody is saying. So the welfare of the citizens reflect on the king. That's why it is in God's own interest. That's right. It's in God's own interest that you look good in the kingdom. He wants you to look good. He wants goodness to be upon you. Favor to be upon you. He wants his kindness, he wants his mercy, he wants to be these things, he wants you to be well, be in health, he wants you to be good, so people can want that. It's in God's interest, it's in heaven's interest to make the citizens in the colonies of heaven look good so that others we want to. That's why people wanted to buy the Roman citizenship in those days. You know, because they were always telling them about something in Rome. Nobody ever been there. You know, nobody ever been there. Even Paul, when he said, I appeal to Caesar, I said, well, that means you are going to Rome. Well, so be it. Nobody ever been there. And they haven't been to heaven. Jesus said, no man has been to heaven at any time. No man never been to Rome, you know, but we know about Rome. Everybody wanted to be a Roman citizen, you know. Yeah, everybody. Yeah. Paul himself said, I'm a Roman citizen. He used that to his advantage, you know, when he needed to. Well, you know, I'm a Roman citizen. He said, you're a Roman citizen? Ah, then everybody was afraid to rough handle him, you know, because once you say you're a Roman citizen, then you better be careful now how you mess with this man. And I told the guard, I mean the captain of the guard, better be careful what you're doing. This man says he's a Roman citizen. Be careful now. You know, and, you know, that's more about, you know, what the kingdom has to offer. And, you know, the people who see it from the outside, what they might want, you know, to, you know, how they might want this if they're looking at it from the outside. Let's read a story in Acts chapter 22. You know, the chief captain and, you know, the people, the soldiers are arresting Paul in the opera and everything. Let's read a story there in Acts chapter 22. I just want to point out this business about, you know, freedom that comes from being citizenship. I mean, having citizenship and people wanting it, you know. Yeah, when the centurion heard, you know, okay, when the, let me just read the story. They lifted up their voices, cast their clothes, did all these things. They were trying to hurt Paul, and they bound him with thongs, you know. Paul said to the centurion that stood by, he said, is it lawful for you to scourge a man that is a Roman and is uncondemned? So he put out the fact that he's a Roman. Everybody was scared. He said, so when the centurion heard this, he went and told the chief captain, be careful now what you are doing. This man is a Roman. Ah, Paul, I love him. You know, this man is a Roman. Be careful what you do. You know. So the man went to him, centurion, and said, tell me, are thou a Roman? He said, yeah. And he wasn't lying. It was for real. And the chief captain said, what? With a great sum have I purchased this freedom? How did you get it? Paul said, but I was freeborn. See, people wanted to be a Roman citizen. This man, this centurion, you know, I mean, this chief captain, he bought it with a great price. That's naturalization. You know, paid a lot for it. Some people do anything to become citizens of the United States or whatever because they think it's got something to offer. What about this citizen of heaven? That's right. So, something to offer that is beyond what the people around knows or what they see. This gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. Now, the preaching of the gospel that we preach must be the gospel of the kingdom. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus was talking about the parable of the sower. The word that was sown, the seed that fell on the wayside, you know, that fell among rocks, that fell among thorns, and that fell on good soil. Listen to how Jesus explained what that really is, you know. Later on, when the disciples came to him, and he explained to them what that parable really meant. You know, he said, well, when anyone hears the word of the kingdom. Let's read it together in Matthew chapter 13. I believe we can start from, say, verse 18 or so. Hear ye therefore the parable of the sower. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, that's it. You know, so this is what Jesus expects us to be preaching. The word of the kingdom. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and they don't understand it, well, then the, you know, then cometh the wicked one. That's the devil. Catches it away from their heart. But it is the word of the kingdom. From beginning, Jesus started talking about it. From the end, I mean, at the end, he was still talking about it. You know, there was a place when he started out in Luke chapter 4, you know, when he started doing some miracles and people saw him and they said, you know, they loved what he was doing. They wanted him to stay, just stay among us and be doing these things. Listen to what Jesus said. You know, he said in Luke chapter 4, let's read from, say, verse 40 something. And when it was day, he departed and went into a desert place. And the people sought him and came unto him and stayed him. In other words, they tried to persuade him to stay, you know, that he should not depart from them. You know, this is verse 42, you know, and so on. And listen to what he said to them in verse 43. He said, no, I must preach the kingdom of God to other cities also, for therefore am I sent. He wasn't preaching about church membership. I must preach the kingdom of God. I'm not preaching. Now, Jesus was the ambassador that came to reintroduce what Adam, the job that Adam should have done and finished that he lost. Jesus came back to do it. And when, even when he stood before Pilate, he said, look, my kingdom is not of this world. You know, because Jesus wasn't there trying to do anything there. No, he had a mission, he had a plan, he had a purpose, had a scheme of how he was going to bring it. If it was of this world, my servants would fight. Well, are you a king then? Pilate said, are you a king then? Listen to the answer of Jesus. It will surprise you. You know, then the man said, well, are you a king then? He said, well, thou sayest that I'm a king. You know, he said, well, and Jesus said, for this purpose. Let's read some of it. You can find this thing in John chapter 18 and Luke chapter 23 and so forth. You know, let's read, John chapter 18 and verse 37. Let's read what Jesus said. You know, he started by preaching the kingdom. And at the end, his testimony before Pilate was still about the kingdom. Let's see what he said in John chapter 18. And let's read verse 37. You know, Pilate said unto him, art thou a king then? Because Jesus said, my kingdom is not of this world. If my kingdom were of this world, then my servants would fight that I should not be delivered unto the Jews. But now is my kingdom not from hence. So when you're talking about kingdom, now you can't be a king. There's only one king in the Roman kingdom. It's Caesar. Any other thing like that is treason. In fact, that's why when Jesus was born in the beginning and some wise folks came and said, we've seen someone as born to be king of the Jews. Herod said, king of the Jews? There's only one king, and that's Caesar. And so this is treason. Kill all the children. There can be only one king. That's right. So Jesus said, well, my kingdom is not of this world. And said, well, so you are a king? Because you are talking about my kingdom? And Jesus said, well, thou art the one saying I'm a king. But listen to the next statement out of the mouth of Jesus. For to this end was I born. He's talking about being a king. This is the reason why I was born. Why do you think he was born? And Jesus saying that at the end, he's almost about to go to the cross now. He started out by preaching the kingdom. He's almost going to the cross now, and he's still talking about the kingdom. That's it. That's it right there. For to this end I was born, and for this reason I came into this world to bear truth, witness to the truth. What is the truth? This man said, what is the truth? Pilate couldn't take it, so Jesus didn't even bother to tell him. But was talking about the truth of the gospel of the kingdom. That's it. A kingdom as a king in a kingdom. And the kingdom is a government with a set of rules and principles and a culture. The kingdom also has citizens. And the citizens have rights. The kingdom, because the government also has a constitution. And we're going to look at, all these things. And God, he wanted to be king. He was king and wanted to be king, but the people said, no, we want a king like the rest of the world. You can read that in the book of 1 Samuel. Give us a king like everybody else. And Samuel was so, angry about that. God said to him, what are you angry about? It's not you that they rejected. It's me. They rejected. They don't want me to be their king. And God was king, and he wanted to be king. And in his own kingdom, it's theocracy rather than democracy. It's God as the monarch, the absolute monarch ruling. Well, Jesus said, I came in my father's name. They rejected me. One is coming later on, that the Antichrist. It will be like an absolute monarch, because he is a usurper and, you know, likes to do everything like God, going to make people worship him at the end. So God introduced himself to his people, you know, as king again in the book of Isaiah. Isaiah chapter 43, verse 15 said, I am the Lord, your Holy One. Not Holy Three. God never called himself three. It's people that call God three. God always say, Holy One. Holy One. I am the Lord, your Holy One, the Creator of Israel, your King. That's right. A king has a kingdom. Glory to God. And, that same God, you know, was manifest in the flesh. 1 Timothy 3 and 16. God, who said, I am your Holy One, Creator of Israel, your King, as in God was manifest in the flesh. And that same God coming back again as King of Kings, Revelation 19. Lord of Lords had a name written on his vesture and on his thigh. King of Kings. And that's right. Jesus. That's the same God. King of Kings. God chose to put in Jesus the fullness of the Godhead bodily. That's right. God is spirit. but in bodily form came as Jesus Christ. That's right. And because he knew that God is spirit, well, he was subject to the Father. But there's coming a day in which God has appointed all things to be judged by this same Jesus Christ. And God has honored and appointed Christ to be the prince of all the kings. Prince means the next ruler. The one that is going to rule. He's not only king of all kings. Why is he called king of kings? Because in the kingdom of God, his citizens are also kings. That's right. Revelation 1 and 6, Revelation 5 and 9, God has made us kings and priests. We're not in the citizens in God's kingdom. The citizens are not paupers. There are some kingdoms, but only the king or the monarch is royalty and everybody else is paupers. No. In the kingdom of God, you are a royal kingdom. Huh? Yeah. A peculiar people, a chosen generation. Every one of us, 1 Peter 2:9, we are royalty in this kingdom, but among all the royalty, king of all the little kings is Jesus. All his subjects are kings. That's why I call King of Kings. But he is a prince of the kings of the earth. When you line up all the kings of the earth and you say, who is the coming ruler? Ask any Jew. A real Jew will tell you, who is Messiah when he comes? They'll tell you, God. That's it. You can't slice God into three pieces and feed him to a Jew. You can't do it. God knows that, the Jews know that when Messiah comes, he will be God. The only thing was, unfortunately, they missed the fact that he came in the flesh the first time. They're still looking for him, one day he'll come. And they'll ask him, well, where'd you get those scars in your hands? I kept these hands, these scars. Did you think that Jesus could not have erased those scars? He could have. But he said, I kept these scars because you did not believe that I was he. And that's why you died in your sins. Jesus told them, John 8:42, if you don't believe that I am he, you will die in your sins. And except you believe that I am he, well, that I came forth and proceeded out of God, well, you die in your sins. So you eventually... He's going to show it to them to let them know that, I am he. John 8:24. If you don't believe that I'm he, you're going to die in your sins. So you died in your sins. But I'm here to show you these scars. Where do you get them? Well, I got them. Tell them. Let these guys here to show you. That's the same God coming back. But in his kingdom, he wants us who are his citizens to understand something. You know, understand what the kingdom is all about so that you can teach it to men. You know, the kingdom must be preached with power, not just words. You know, this kingdom of God spreads. It's like a stone cut out with our hands, a little at first, but then it spreads to fill up the whole earth, and all nations will flow into it. You know, Isaiah prophesied it, Micah also prophesied it. In the last days, you know, the house of God will be set up, kingdom, rock, the stone, and all nations will flow into it. We'll talk more about that later. The kingdom of God will spread through proclamation. We've been talking about that. And demonstration. I'm going to talk more about demonstration this time around. Demonstration. Paul said, kingdom of God is not in word and this. Demonstration. Got to demonstrate. The church is the agency and the instrument of kingdom expansion. And we need to understand that. We are ambassadors for Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and 20. We carry the authority of the king. That's what our ambassadors do. The ambassador is in a foreign land, but he is representing his home country. And he does not learn the culture of the foreign land. He doesn't need to be. It's totally separate. He's not under the laws of the foreign land either. He's immune from their laws. Hallelujah. The laws of sickness, the laws of death, and all these things that are reigning in the mother body in this earthly kingdom. We who are citizens of the kingdom, kingdom citizens, we should not be subject to those things. In fact, you know, the ambassador must speak only what the sending kingdom say. They don't have their own message. Jesus said the son cannot preach his own message. Only what the father tells him. That's all he said. That's the ambassador. Ambassador cannot do its own thing. You know, they're there. You know, the foreign policy that they bring is a policy from their home country. And they've got a little thing there. It's like a little country within a country. They have their own little estate there. Consulate in that little area there is like America in Nigeria or some other place. You know, if you are a citizen of America, you flash your passport, you get into that place, Nigeria or any other country, and I can't touch you. You know, once you get in there, you know. So, and the evidence that you are a citizen of a country, when you are outside the country, it's your passport. When you are in the country, you don't have a passport because you are a citizen already. But when you are going out, evidence that you are is a pass, you know, a citizen of some country is your passport. When you present that passport to tell you that, you know, they should treat you as though you are a citizen of that country. Many people don't know what that passport means. And so, when you get into a foreign land and they want you to get into trouble, they seize your passport. They seize your passport. Then you have no identity, you know, and you are in trouble then, you know. So if you know what that passport carries, my goodness, you know. Now, when we are in the kingdom, we are kingdom citizens, you know, and the culture of the kingdom will follow the kingdom messengers. So this, like healing the sick, doing all these things, signs following, that's the culture of the kingdom. It'll follow the kingdom messengers. When they are preaching the kingdom message, you know, the signs and the wonders, you know, that's just to show them, to show the listeners and the world around them where these messengers come from and who they represent. And the kingdom demands total surrender to the king. If any man will come unto me, Matthew chapter 16 and verse 24, you know, he must deny himself, surrender to the King. You know, you are my friends if you do what I tell you. I tell and you do. No questions asked. As kingdom citizens for you. Now, the kingdom, like I said, is not a democracy. It's a monarchy. Yeah. Jesus was not voted in by anybody. He's enthroned. Reign, Master Jesus, reign. In my life, reign. And we enthrone him, crowning King of Kings and Lord of Lords. Kingdom requires, you know, the submission, obedience, and loyalty. That's it. You know, they love not their lives even unto the death. Revelation 12 and 11. Everyone, though, and there's a promise. Everyone, Matthew 8 and 19 and 29. Everyone that has forsaken this and that and so forth, surrendered everything, shall receive a hundredfold. That's a promise in the kingdom. The kingdom also will ultimately triumph over the earth and the kingdoms. Daniel 2 and 44. In the days of these kings and these kingdoms, from the head to the toes, shall the God of heaven set up his own kingdom that shall stand forever. Glory to God. God put all those kingdoms out. The kingdom of God is unstoppable. It's coming. It's God's kingdom is eternal. You know, it cannot be destroyed. You know, and the kingdom, the gospel of the kingdom is really to prepare the world for the King's return. Jesus told some parables. He said, kingdom is like a king that he went to obtain a kingdom and gave his servants charge to do certain things. You know, so he's coming. The King is coming. Revelation 11:15. This is the capstoning of it all. And the kingdoms of this world one day shall be said have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. That's right. You know, that's when Jesus finally, after the seventh angel has sounded, you know, boom, it's done. It takes over. Now our preaching must be preparing even citizens for the coming King. That's right. Must be taking on the nature of God and behaving and functioning like God. So the call to repentance. Repent means amend your ways. Amend even your thinking. You're now citizens of the kingdom. You're not citizens of this world anymore. You know, you have been translated from the kingdom of darkness to the kingdom of God's dear Son. You know, we are now empowered. Receive the Holy Ghost power to preach this kingdom to people. Go and preach the gospel of the kingdom. We must discover it too for ourselves. We can't give what we don't have. That's why Jesus said, you give what you have received. Freely you have received. First you receive, then freely you give. So once we receive the understanding of the kingdom, we must do that by discovering or rediscovering the concept of the kingdom. Then we can also preach the same. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's a wrap for part one of our kingdom series. This is a series that we've taught before, but every time we teach you, bring in some other things, new things, and so forth. Jesus said, every scribe that's instructed into the kingdom of heaven. Now, these scribes, they knew some scriptures. They even wrote, helped to, you know, transcribe, you know, some of these scriptures. But they didn't quite understand it. But once they are instructed, you know, into the kingdom, you know, Jesus in Matthew chapter 13, he told many parables, you know, and at the end he said, well, therefore every scribe, you know, that is instructed into the kingdom. This is Matthew chapter 13 and verse 52 or 51. Every scribe that is instructed into the kingdom of heaven is like a man, that is a householder. See, they knew old things before, but now in the kingdom, they find new things. Praise God. So that's the lesson, part one, of the message of the kingdom. What it means and why it is beyond the message of the new birth. But you can't have the kingdom if you're not born again. So the message of the new birth is accurate in the sense that you cannot enter the kingdom without it. But it's incomplete if what it teaches is for us to give our lives to Christ and then go to heaven. That's incomplete. There is a job and a role for the church, the agency of heaven upon earth, to bring in everlasting righteousness, install the kingdom culture here on earth, and make men see and the kingdom of heaven is light. Let your light so shine, Jesus said, Matthew 5 and 16. Let your light so shine before men, and they may see your good works. And be in epistles, they read into your life. Wow, I want what you have. I want some of that. Glory to God. The kingdom is marching on. Yeah, people talk about the church is marching on. We sing about that too. But it's really a kingdom. The church, just like Jesus used to say, I speak not for myself. I speak what my Father has shown me. The Son can do nothing of itself, only what the Father has shown him. Jesus said all these things. In the lesson, when we get to ambassadors of the kingdom, we'll talk about that. The church must also speak like that. The church must be saying, I can do nothing but what the Holy Spirit is telling. Jesus said, the Holy Spirit, he will tell you what to say. That's right. So that's it. As the Father was to Jesus, so is the Holy Spirit to the church. And the Holy Spirit walking with the church, that's heaven and earth combining together to bring forth the culture of heaven on the earth. Praise God. To God be the glory. I'm going to pray over the room and close today's lesson. If you want to know more about this, then come and hear the rest of the series. Praise God. Father, I thank you. I give you all the praise and give you all the glory. As we have entered into the kingdom, but now on a journey of discovery. What's behind those gates now that we are entered into the turnstile? What's behind door number one, door number two, door number three? What's behind those places? Father, I pray, Lord, as we discover the things of the kingdom. The kingdom of heaven, he says, like a man that found great treasure. He went and sold everything he had in order to get it. Lord, help us to discover and to understand the treasures, the riches of the kingdom of heaven, the riches of the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. God be the glory. And thank you, Lord, because the church, the agency of righteousness, bringing in everlasting righteousness, the church is rising. Understanding this, rising up as a great army, and we're going to take the kingdom. And we're able to do it too. We're able to do it by the grace of Almighty God, Holy Spirit, with us. We thank you, Lord. And when it's all said and done, the message of the church is to point to the King, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And Lord, we know that King is coming. You are coming, Lord, and we know, come, Lord Jesus. And in the meantime, help us to occupy even like you said, occupy until the master comes. thank you, Lord. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. To God be the glory. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.